Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
What's going down?
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the What's Going Down podcast here on Patreon without any ads or on the main feed with the ads. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Mr. Finlay Martin. Finn, we're a day late because I'm in the US, but we're here and we're ready to talk about what already is a busy week of wrestling. we're not even in Philadelphia yet.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it has been a busy, when did we last record? Thursday, wasn't it? So it's been a busy 5-6 days since we last spoke. Yeah. Crazy times, as always in wrestling, and certainly, I would imagine, it's going to get even crazier as the week goes on.
Yes, it will. And, you know, this is Wednesday as we record this. We'll probably just record Power Slam tomorrow. But when we do, you know, I think then we can probably give the CM Punk MMA hour a good chunk of time. Because obviously that does deserve our attention for a lot of the stuff that he was saying, and he opened up about a lot of stuff, so... We are going to delve into that tomorrow. Obviously, on this one, we're talking about what's happened on the shows. So let's dive into SmackDown from last week. It was obviously a little bit of a less newsworthy show because we didn't have the sort of big Cody Seth Bloodline stuff happening, but there was still stuff to get into. So we did have Kevin Owens and Randy Orton teaming up and facing Pretty Deadly in the opening match. And of course, Logan Paul ended up appearing from under the ring and KO'd Owens with a brass knuckles.
He KO'd KO, didn't he?
I mean, the KO and KO. It's like a, that should be like an unlocked feature in a video game. If you KO, KO, you win. And that caused Pretty Deadly to get the victory. So, I mean, it was your kind of standard fare, but I mean, it's billed to a US title match. It's fine. What did you think?
Yeah, definitely. I was pleased to see Pretty Deadly score a win because, I mean, they've kind of been anonymous for a while. And even though it was a tainted victory, Logan Paul entering the ring and behind when the referee's backwards turn and laying out KO with the brass knucks. So, yeah, obviously, they didn't earn the victory, but they still won. So that's the main thing for Kit and Elton. So good for them. And then afterwards, we had the angle. And Randy Orton went to the, you know, point where Logan Paul was hiding under the ring and dragged him from under there. And Orton, you know, then beat down Paul. Then Pretty Deadly made the save for Logan Paul. And then Pretty Deadly were blasted by Orton and Owens. And then Randy Orton pursued Logan Paul all the way backstage. And Logan Paul escaped in a red sports car. Burned off, he did. So, yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, I'm kind of figuring that, you know, it sort of seems like Logan Paul, from the story they've told us so far, has got no chance against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton in a triple threat match. But as we've said before, Kenny, you know, my money's on Logan Paul in this match. You know, I think he's going to escape with the championship, especially given where SummerSlam's going to be. He's got to be US champion going into that show. And Orton and Owens are just getting on too damn well, aren't they, Kenny?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they're like pals, they're like bros. It's like, you know, this cannot last, can it?
No, it's gonna kind of fall apart, and it'll probably fall apart at WrestleMania. And I think if you were to look at all the title matches that are going to happen, and you were to sort of say, what's the least interesting title changes? I think this one would probably be high on that list because, you know, Logan Paul's doing so well, and Owens and Orton, I don't think either of them really would do any better than him as US champ at the moment. So I think
no,
Logan...
I agree, absolutely agree. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think Paul should retain the championship there, and maybe we'll get the heel turn or whatever. We got an Orton Owens program post WrestleMania. I think that would be good for both of them, and maybe Pretty Deadly can become part of, you know, Logan Paul's permanent entourage. I mean, that would probably be good for them.
Yeah, 100%. Elsewhere on SmackDown, we had Austin Theory and Grayson Waller qualifying for the tag team ladder match by beating the Street Profits. And then we had the New Catch Republic beating Angel and Umberto to qualify. There is kind of chat that maybe Waller and Theory might not end up in the match in the end. Do you foresee that?
What are people saying, Kenny? What are people saying about that?
Well, I think people are saying that there's talk that they're going to be substituted for another team. I don't know who that team is going to be. I don't think it's like a massive surprise team or anything, but I think it's the idea is that they're probably just a team that... But then, I mean, why have them win? Maybe there is a reason, but yeah, it's a curious one. I mean, they are probably one of the least... What would you say? The least kind of necessary
likely
teams?
To win? I mean, least likely to win? I mean, Waller in theory doesn't seem like they've got really any chance at all of winning the match, does it?
No. I wouldn't say so. So, I mean, if you were going to eliminate anybody from it, they're probably the team you would eliminate. So,
yeah, probably. I mean, it's a shame for the Street Profits and a shame for us, Kenny, as viewers, that Karrion Kross and Scarlett, what happened was they appeared on the big screen. They'd beaten down Bobby Lashley and B-Fab backstage in their dressing area. You know, Angelo Dawkins sort of left the ring. Theory was distracted. And then Waller and Theory scored the pin. And then afterwards, the Authors of Pain entered the ring and beat down the Profits. And then AOP beat down Lashley when he came out. So, I mean, the great tragedy here is that we're going to see more Street Profits and Bobby Lashley versus the Final Testament. That's the great tragedy here.
Yeah, it's been announced that at WrestleMania, it's going to be a Philadelphia street fight with the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley against AOP and Karrion Kross. So, I mean, the thing is, I think we knew, even though we were trying to fool ourselves and hoping that it wouldn't happen, I think we knew that given how much TV time this was getting, it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't make us want to see it anymore.
No, it doesn't. I mean, at least they've tacked on a, you know, a street fight stipulation here, which might make this match more interesting and give them a chance.
It can't make it any less interesting, can it? It can't. I mean,
no, definitely not. As a straight six-man match, who really cares or who would care about this match? I mean, you know, they've tried a little bit with it, but, I mean, Authors of Pain and Karrion Kross, I mean, they're a dead loss. The waste of our time. You know, maybe this will be a surprise. Like, remember that Chicago street fight, Kenny, at WrestleMania 13? That was that unexpected hit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? I remember having really low expectations going into that. And that ended up being a fun match. So maybe this will be as well.
Yeah. So I think it will be fun in the end. But, I mean, it'll definitely be the match that I choose to go and get a beverage or go for a pee. Just have
40 winks.
Yeah, maybe just have a wee snooze.
Or maybe you could just, you know, get out your copy of the Power Slam yearbook and have a read of that.
There you go. I mean, look, What better thing to do than when there's a lull point in the show? Yeah, so that was that on SmackDown. We also then had the segment where we had Santos Escobar. We had a recap of the feud with Santos and Rey Mysterio in the match from last week with Dominic. So Legado came out, and Santos said, "I told you so." And he brings out Dom, and Dom's getting booed, and they're just, loving each other. And then Rey comes out with the rest of the LWO, and basically the end of it was we're going to get a tag match at WrestleMania with Rey and a partner of his choosing against Dominic and Santos, and Rey chooses the newest member of the LWO, Dragon Lee. We get a big brawl. I mean, what do you think? Do you think the tag match is more of a sell than the eight-man match that we kind of thought it was going to be? What are your thoughts on that being the end game?
Yeah, I think so, because I mean, as you pointed out, there's this six-man match with the Profits and Lashley versus Cross and AOP. There's the six-pack tag team match. Maybe it felt like there's enough multi-man or multi-person matches on these shows as it is, so we'll just go with the straight tag. So I think that's probably the thinking behind not including everyone in the match. But as always, I'm always mesmerized by Carlito's reactions, not because he's an interesting person or particularly charismatic, although I guess he is a little bit charismatic. But I'm always watching him thinking, well, what's he thinking right now? What's he thinking right now about this latest development that's going to result in him not wrestling at WrestleMania? And he looked a bit miffed. He looked a bit bored. He looked a bit fed up. I mean, no change there, right? So, I think this is a good call because, Mysterio and Santos Escobar, I mean, Santos beat Rey Mysterio, right, in their TV match with help from Dominic. Dragon Lee is somebody who was doing really well last year. Then he ended up in NXT and then he lost his way a little bit. Hasn't really done much since he's returned to the main roster. So I think this is going to give him a boost. So I think, Ray and Dragon Lee, I would imagine they will win this match. I can't think for a moment that they're going to lose. But Ray and Dragon Lee, if they beat Dom and Santos, I think that'll be a big win for them and maybe give Dragon Lee, a real lift and, point him in a direction that's going to take him somewhere. So, yeah, I think it's the right decision. What do you think, Kenny?
Yes, I think that if they've done the eight man, because you're still going to get all the people involved anyway. You're still going to get all the kind of, brawl stuff on the outside anyway. So I think that by having it kind of be less people, that's good. And obviously, yeah, Carlito not being in the match is a godsend for people who like to see mobile wrestlers. So he'll, and that'd be good for him because he can just do a fun spot on the outside. Doesn't need to worry about anything else. They're putting Dragon Lee over by putting him in a position higher than what he was on before,
Yeah.
so that's good. So yeah, I think it's all a positive, and Rey and Dom was a good part of WrestleMania last year, so I think adding it again this year somehow is a smart move.
Yeah, and as I've said before, Dom is a, this guy is like the greatest radiator on earth, isn't he? He just brings the heat, doesn't he? So I mean, he's going to ensure that there's going to be a response to this match, no matter where it's placed on the show.
Yeah, 100%. And then the other big story on SmackDown was the main event was Bianca Belair against Dakota Kai in a match. But in the end, we had so in the end of the match, Bianca got the win, but then we had the Kabuki Warriors taking Bianca down. Naomi's trying to, help, but the numbers game's too big. And then Jade Cargill makes her entrance, takes out the heels. And Naomi, Bianca, and Jade are standing tall at the end, and we found out on social media that it is a six-woman tag for WrestleMania: Naomi, Bianca, and Jade against Damage Control. What did you think of what they did here, and kind of what they've set up?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Well, we should mention earlier on the programme, Nick Aldis brought out Jade Cargill, who described herself as a once-in-a-lifetime superstar. She said, the storm has arrived. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, after the main event, there's this beatdown of Bianca, and then Naomi ran out, and then Jade Cargill appeared, and there was no real sense of urgency at all, and the commentators even acknowledged this. They tried to make out that this was a good thing, that she wasn't running down to the ring to save her new pals. And when she finally arrived in the ring, Jade Cena'd the Kabuki Warriors and Dakota Kai. I mean, they were just splattered, weren't they? All three of them just destroyed. So, I mean, the crowd seemed to like it. But, I mean, Jade's still got a lot to prove to me. I think it's a good spot for her in a six-woman match. She won't have to do too much. I mean, there was a lot of talk after Royal Rumble that they were going to book her against Nia Jax at WrestleMania. Did you hear that one? And I was yes. Like, oh, God. You know, that's a lot of pressure. Are they going to be able to pull this one off? Nia's just disappeared, by the way, hasn't she? We haven't seen her since she, you know, lost to Becky.
I know. I feel bad for her.
You know what? She had a good run there at Elimination Chamber and on TV. So, I mean, you know, not everyone could be in the spotlight all the time. So, yeah, I think it's a good spot for Jade on the show because she'll only have to do at most 1/6 of the work and we'll probably do less than that. But yeah, I mean, you know, let's see, you know, this wasn't, I mean, the fans like her and they've done a really good job of presenting her as a star. And this is something WWE does very well, but she's got to bring it, you know, she's got to show us that she's, you know, worthy of, you know, this huge investment that WWE has made in her financially and creatively. And, you know, and our investment emotionally, hasn't she, Kenny? You know, I think she's still got a lot to prove. I want to believe she's going to succeed. You know, I really do. So yeah, I mean, let's just see.
Also, it's, you know, if she's not ready to have a one-on-one match, don't put her in one. You know,
exactly.
Don't put her there. So, you know, I think that, you know, in 6 months' time, we can probably talk about the success of whether they should have put her on the WrestleMania card. You know, but then if they didn't put her on the card, people would complain, kind of going, well, where is she? What's she doing? So, I mean, the issue is that she's coming into a feud that's pretty cold because, you know, Naomi's punches on SmackDown were criminal. Oh,
I mean, what's going on with her? I mean, she does this, like, flowery offense that's just too complicated and is totally unrealistic. People just have to stand there like buffoons while she, like, flies through the air or does an unrealistic kick. I don't know what she's thinking. I mean, why aren't, you know, the Bloodline don't do these things? You know, and I wish she was a member of the Bloodline. Said this before, written this before. I just feel like she's treading water at best. You know, take her out of this storyline after WrestleMania. And I don't know what's going to happen to the Bloodline. Will the Bloodline still exist? I don't know after WrestleMania. But this is there's no future in this for Naomi. She's just a bit player. That's all she is. And that's all she will ever be in this role.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, she's obviously got it in her to be better. We saw it in Impact, so I don't know what the holdup is.
I just wish she'd just simplify what she does.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's move on to Raw. Raw. I mean, I was there on Monday at the show. It was a very fun show live. I mean, the first half hour was basically, you know, The Rock and Roman Reigns. Well, The Rock first. You know, giving his big speech, and then Roman Reigns coming out and him giving his big speech, and then we had Seth Rollins coming through the crowd and basically challenging The Rock to a match tonight, and if he didn't have the balls, challenging Roman Reigns, and in the end, they refused to wrestle him and say, you can face Solo instead. Solo actually spoke for a rare time, and we find that the main event's going to be Seth and Solo in a Bloodline rules match.
Yeah.
Long segment, but did you feel like it accomplished what it needed to?
I think it did in parts, yeah. And we should mention that Cody Rhodes, they'd said on commentary that Cody Rhodes was not medically cleared to be there. That was something that they emphasised. Should also mention as well at the start of the programme, they showed people constructing the WrestleMania set. And they looked to me, Kenny, like they were wearing a lot of clothes. So it's going to be cold there on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, the thing is, I've looked at the weather, and the weather looks, there's only a 3% chance of rain on Saturday. Right. And the 5% chance of rain on Saturday, 3% chance of rain on Sunday. So I'm going to take those odds.
It's basically been a 100% chance of rain every day in the UK since about last October. So that's a better climate for a show than over here. But getting back to this segment, it was a long segment. Well, this is what we've come to expect from the Bloodline and the other people who are involved in this feud. And it's nothing's rushed. They're given plenty of time. And these segments have been very successful. And this is obviously huge. It's the biggest thing in wrestling in many, many years. So why not give them the time? I thought Roman Reigns really brought it on the mic here. You know, Rock went out first and then he introduced Roman Reigns. So Rock was Roman's settled man, whereas previously it had been vice versa, hadn't it?
Yeah.
So this very much felt like Roman was given, you know, he was made center of attention here. He was portrayed as the star. And as we've been saying, you know, that's something that they needed to do to try and create more of a sense of equality between Roman and the final boss. You know, even though Rock just owned the mic, doesn't he? I mean, he's just owning it and he's just so good. And the audience are just hanging on his every word, aren't they? I mean, they just were. I mean, he could have been out there another 20 minutes and I don't think people would have got bored of him. Is that how you viewed the environment or the atmosphere on the night?
Yeah, I think people live were just really happy to see the big stars. You know, that was what they were there to see. And I think on TV, I can understand why sometimes it might feel a bit too long, but I think in the arena people just lapped up, you know. And like you say, I think if you're watching WWE, for the most part this is what people expect or are looking for. So I think, you know, if AEW started with a 30-minute talking segment, I think the fans of AEW are probably a bit annoyed because that's not what they sign up for. So I think, but I mean, with WWE it's like they're smart. If you've got Rock there. And the other thing that I think is really impressive about Rock, and this is something that Brock Lesnar never really did, was that he's in these opening segments and then he's sticking around till the end. And he's still involved at the end. Remember Brock used to come out and do these opening segments, then he'd be back in his jet within 20 minutes and you just never see him again?
Yeah.
So, you know, got to give props to Rock for kind of really going all in on being a part of the show and sort of giving it Yaldi, as you'd say in Scotland.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I will say about AEW, if they were doing more of this sort of thing, you know, promoting more characters, telling more stories, they'd be drawing a lot more viewers than they are. And the AEW fans would actually get used to it and enjoy it. And they would actually draw more people if they would get more people over as characters instead of just presenting match after match, which is generally how they present their TV. And it's the reason that the ratings are falling. So, you know, to me, AEW should be stealing a leaf from WWE's book right now. And I'm not sure why they're going in the other direction, because clearly, look, based on last week's rating, which fell again, it's not working. So Reigns had made the comment in an interview. He'd said, if I lose the championship on Sunday night at WrestleMania, then I am gone. So that was something they brought up on commentary here. Mm-hmm. That Roman Reigns is saying that I'm leaving WWE if I lose the title to Cody Rhodes. I mean, let's face it, Kenny, after he retained the title against Cody Rhodes last year, he was gone for ages, wasn't he? So will we even notice any difference?
Probably not.
And then Seth Rollins appeared in the crowd and, you know, challenged The Rock to a one-on-one match in the main event of the programme. You know, then he figured that Rock wasn't going to have the balls to face him, so then he challenged Roman Reigns. And as you said, instead it was Solo Sikoa who stepped up and agreed to face Rollins, as if they were going to give away Rollins versus Rock or Rollins versus Reigns on the Raw before WrestleMania. Obviously, yeah. Neither match was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but I will say, I think it for a brief moment, I think it did take the wind out of people's sails to go from potentially Seth and Rock or Seth and Roman to Seth and Solo. But again, I think because you had Rock sticking around later, that makes up for it. You know, you're not just kind of giving somebody the C player and having the A player is not around. Because, I mean, let's just jump to it now, actually, because we have that match.
Can I just chime in there, Kenny? I mean, mm-hmm. but yeah, absolutely right, it did. But the thing is, Rollins, as the babyface, who's there, you know, seeking vengeance for his partner, Cody Rhodes, who was destroyed the previous week, he had to issue that challenge, didn't he, to one or the other. He had to do that.
Yeah.
You know, the story couldn't have played out any other way. And of course, they weren't going to give us that match because we're going to get that match on Saturday and Sunday. This, or we're going to get the tag match Saturday, and then we're going to get Cody Reigns on the Sunday. So they really had to tell a story that way. So there was really no way of avoiding that sense of disappointment. But you are absolutely right. When we got the substitute, it was like, oh, well, that's not as good as what we thought we were going to get.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go straight to that main event.
Yeah, so we have the main event, Seth and Solo, and you know, people were kind of wondering, you know, are we going to see the big players again? And obviously, Bloodline rules means Envy can turn up, and you know, we had Jimmy Uso, we had Jay come out to try and fight Jimmy to the back, and then you know, The Rock comes out and he like is you know battering Jay, and he comes down, he's looking at Rollins in the ring. And then Rollins just smiles and Cody Rhodes music hits and Cody comes out and Cody and Rock start brawling. And then him and Rollins are clearing the announce table because Cody's going to give the Rock a rock bottom on the announce table. And
yeah,
Roman
sure point out, Rock did sell, didn't he? He did sell for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was properly, like, you know, in peril from Cody and Seth and was playing the game. And then obviously Roman had been under the ring, so he tripped Rollins up and made sure this rock bottom couldn't happen. And then the crowd were chanting for CM Punk, but this time it wasn't, you know, to disrupt the show. It was kind of, is he here? Could he come and help? And then Rock and...
His triceps hanging off. What's he going to do?
But then we got the big beatdown angle with Roman and Rock beating down the babyfaces. And this was a pretty intense beatdown. What did you make of this being the final sell for the big tag match?
It was spot on. Perfect. Absolutely exactly what it needed to be. They smashed them with them because Rock took off a belt, absolutely leathered them both. And then Roman Reigns is getting stuck in with the leather belt as well. I mean, wow, it was full force, wasn't it? And like Rhodes was down and he was selling like he was near death and Rollins was down. And like a lot of times with The Rock, you know, people are entertained, aren't they? They're having fun. They're chanting along. They're saying silly stuff, you know, and they want to laugh at him, you know, and they want to be insulted by him so they could then laugh essentially at themselves. But there was no laughing here. You know, this was a serious business with this beatdown at the end of Raw. It was exactly what it needed to be. You know, I don't think it could have been better. There was one moment where there was a little bit, you know, a little bit concerning. Where Roman tripped over the top of the announce table. He took it off and put it at ringside. He tripped over it. I was like, oh my God. And I was just imagining if like Reigns had like done his knee in or broken his ankle or something like that. It's like, so he was fine happily. But that was one little moment there, which Reigns was not expecting and should not have happened. But yeah, this was ferocious. You know, this was absolutely... You know, beat down the faces. The faces should have been in absolute peril, looking really vulnerable at the end of Raw. You know, this was booking 101, wasn't it? I mean, there's nothing about this was particularly innovative or experimental. but booking, you know, 49 times out of 50 shouldn't be. You know, it should be simple. It should be to the point. It should follow a straight path from, you know, A to D, taking in B and see along the way. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be done. And this was all really, you know, textbook stuff, you know, delivered by, you know, true professionals in a, you know, A1 manner, Kenny. Very well done.
Yeah, I mean, and like I say, I think because we've had these big matches in the past where part-timer people turn up and they don't really put the full effort in, so it's good to see this one get the full treatment. Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch had a big segment because Becky came out at the top of verse 3. She, you know, said that she wants to fight her. They'd had a thing on the MMA earlier that day where they had a little moment.
You just mentioned earlier about the CM Punk thing. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking about that tomorrow. But they did an angle there, didn't they? And where Rhea Ripley's there and Becky Lynch turned up and tried to, you know, have a go at Rhea Ripley. I like, you know, and I don't read the comments. I don't watch MMA. I'm not interested in it. And it just occurred to me that I bet a lot of MMA fans are really upset about this.
Well, it was bizarre to go from CM Punk basically peeling the curtain totally back and giving us a 1 hour, 50 minute shoot interview to this like wrestling angle.
Exactly.
It was wild.
On an MMA show, they're doing like a wrestling angle. I bet there's some MMA fans who are up in arms about it, but that's absolutely furious. What are they doing? This fake wrestling on an MMA show? It's a disgrace.
And then Ariel Helwani's on Twitter apologizing to Rhea Ripley for things going awry. You're like, what are you doing?
This is just brilliant. This is just hilarious. You know, it was really funny.
Anyway, so they set up that, you know, that's happened earlier in the day. Becky wants to fight her. Adam Pearce comes out and says, no, you know, I can't risk one of the biggest matches at WrestleMania. So then Rhea comes out and there's security. And basically, Rhea and Becky are just battering security. They're trying to get to each other. There's the big pull apart. Becky's doing a dive. And, you know, this was exactly what it should have been in the go-home show. This was pull apart, fight, big fight feel. I mean, if 10% of this fire could be transported to the Bayley and Io Sky feud. Yeah, I tell you, they could use it because that feud's on life support. But Becky and Rhea, I mean, they're showing you how it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, neither wrestled on the show and nor should they have done. You know, this wasn't all about, you know, matches. This is all about the story and the angles that are furthering that story. And that's what this was, another pull apart. I mean, I think I asked this question last week. I don't think Rhea has wrestled on TV since Elimination Chamber, has she?
No.
I don't think she has. Becky's had, she's had, I think, at least two matches.
Yeah, the Nia matches and Liv Morgan.
Yeah, that was it. So these two haven't been wrestling much, but they don't need to because it's all about promoting the big match this weekend. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Rhea and Becky Lynch to deliver this weekend at WrestleMania because this has been built up as the biggest women's wrestling match of the year anywhere, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So these two are, you know, they're going to need a... And I'm sure Becky Lynch is thinking, wow, you know, Rhea had that incredible match with Charlotte Flair last year, you know? Mm-hmm. So I need to try and do at least as well as Charlotte Flair did as an opponent for Rhea Ripley. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on them this weekend. The angles have been really good. The personalities, we know the personalities... You know, we know this is all about being the best, but it's also all about really having a great match. So I wish the pair of them luck, Kenny, and I hope they can really deliver this weekend and have, like, you know, a classic or something approaching a classic match. For some reason, I fear that it's going to be a disappointment between these two this weekend. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but I have a terrible feeling that it will be. And I don't want it to be. I want these two to absolutely, I want them to have like an absolute blinder. But there's something about these two that makes me think that it might not be as good as we think it should be or ought to be. What's your thoughts about this match?
I think Rhea is a more proven commodity in these big matches than Becky is. I don't know why that is. I mean, Becky's just not had a lot of classic WrestleMania matches. I mean, to me, the best one she had was Bianca at 38. That was really good. But, you know, last year she was in that six-woman tag. Shayna, the COVID WrestleMania, the triple threat with Ronda and Charlotte wasn't really that great. So I think this is a big night for Becky. Not that she's obviously talented enough. It's not that that's the problem. But let's just hope that on Monday when we talk, you're going, I was wrong. and they nailed it. Let's hope that's the conversation we're having.
Yeah. I mean, I want them to bring it. You know, I actually want Rhea Ripley to retain. I think that would be far more interesting if she retains. I think if Becky Lynch defeats her, you know, in some ways that would be good for Lynch, but I'm not so sure if it would be good for Rhea Ripley. So I'm hoping Ripley's going to retain. And I'd be interested to see what Becky Lynch does if she, you know, in the storyline, if she doesn't win.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've only got 3 minutes left before I need to head out of this Airbnb that I'm in. So let's very quickly give some flowers to Drew McIntyre doing the eulogy of Seth Rollins at that little funeral parlor. That was fantastic. Good stuff from Drew, as always. But the last main thing I want to ask you about, Finn, was the Sami Zayn angle. He faces Bronson Reed on this show. We had the big training video with him and Chad Gable before, where Gable's trying to get him ready. And then Gunther ends up ruining the match by bringing out Chad Gable, you know, after he'd beaten him up. And then Sami Zayn ends up being battered by Gunther. The match is a no contest. And this was the big beatdown angle where Sami and Chad Gable were both left laying. How did, I know, you know, we both kind of said Sami's maybe not the guy we would have in this position, but how have they done here in terms of a go home angle?
I think they did about as well as they could have done. I mean, show the training video of Chad with Sami Zayn. You know, and Zayn wasn't, it's kind of like a Rocky training video, Rocky for Rocky 3 for the rematch with Clubber Lang. And it's like, you know, it's like he wasn't really into it. And then there's like the light bulb goes off and then he really trains hard and like he's ready for Gunther. And, you know, Zayn versus Bronson Reed, thought the match was a bit slow. I thought it was bitty at first, but it did pick up later once Zayn was making his comeback. And Zayn did have huge amounts of support from fans in Brooklyn. I could hear you there, Kenny, cheering him on. So, I mean, yeah, the match was really heating up. And then Gunther appeared in the aisle. Chad Gable's unconscious. Gunther's dragging him out by the arm. And, you know, Zayn's distracted. And then he, you know, went for Gunther. But instead, you know, Gunther smashed Zayn, really beat him up, nailed him with the title belt. And paused with his foot on Sami Zayn's chest. So, I mean, this was another hell of a pasting on a show filled with beatdowns, wasn't it? I mean, it really was. So, I can't work out what's going to happen. Is Chad Gable going to turn heel on Sami Zayn? Is he secretly in cahoots with Gunther? I mean, is that the story here, Kenny?
There's definitely something. And I think that, you know, we've talked about this in the past, you know, when people at WrestleMania don't really have, they're not in a match, so they're not in a storyline, but Gable's heavily involved in this. So something's coming. I don't know what it is. I thought that the finish of the match with Sami and Bronson was quite dumb, in person anyway, because the referee just stood and watched everything happen, you know, when really she should have counted Sami out or something. Like, it just didn't really make any sense. WWE are usually quite good with referee decisions, but this referee just looked like an idiot because she just stood there. But I do understand that, you know, for the greater good, we got the Gunther angle. But, you know, just to be fair, I think they probably could have done a count out there and had it look a bit more legit, just from my, you know, live experience.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, they were more concerned with the angle rather than the match finish. And Bronson Reed was, you know, he was just like yesterday's news, wasn't he, as soon as Gunther came out with Chad?
You know, It would have given, you know, Bronson, if Bronson had even got a wee count out win here, because we assume Bronson can, if Sami was to win, Bronson can be his first opponent, you know.
Yeah.
But it was important here that Bronson didn't lose, for sure. So they did a good job in that regard. But listen, that is all the time we've got for today. We'll be back tomorrow with PowerSlam, and we'll obviously do some predictions for WrestleMania on the overrun. And then on Monday, I mean, God knows how long it's going to take us to get through WrestleMania and talk about it. So there'll be lots of us coming up, is the point. So
there will be.
If you enjoy listening to us, you'll be a happy, happy person. So, loads of stuff to plug very quickly. Patreon.com/InsideRopes. Loads of bonus content. The PowerSlam Overrun is up, where we talk about most underrated and overrated wrestlers ever, where you get a rare double Finn Martin F-bomb, which I think that's maybe a first time that's ever happened. But if that's not a plug to get to Patreon, I don't know what is. And InsideRopesMagazine.com, you can order issue 43. We are with a new printer who we used to be with, actually, in the past, and we've had a lot of people very happy about the paper. that we're able to do with that, which is still kind of environmentally good, but also is, I think, you know, a little bit better for people. So I'm glad that people have been enjoying that. And this time next week, actually, we should have an Inside Ropes tour announcement. One that Finn is actually going to be potentially trying to attend in Manchester soon. So, yeah, look out for that.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously tomorrow as well, we're going to talk about Clash at the Castle.
Yes, Glasgow's getting a PLE, so we'll be talking about that. I mean, Glasgow's not known for its castles, but, you know, who cares? It's a PLE, we'll take it. So, yeah, lots of stuff coming up. Thanks for all your support, everybody. Really appreciate it, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.